You are Locked On Rams, your daily Los Angeles Rams podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Rams Nation, what is going on? Welcome back to another episode of the Locked On Rams podcast. It is your boy, your host, Sosa Cremenges. I am a fantasy analyst at Pro Football Focus and your host of the Locked On Rams podcast, your number one daily podcast covering the Los Angeles Rams. Welcome to your Friday episode. We're going to finish the week strong here at Locked On Rams. I appreciate you guys for shooting over some good questions because this episode is going to be firmly dedicated to another mailbag. You know how we do Fridays. We like to get into that mailbag. And you guys sent me over some very good questions, some stuff related to the current team, guys that I think may be able to break out next season. Obviously, a whole lot of free agency questions and especially a ton of draft questions. So appreciate you guys for sending those over to me. We're going to dive in to begin with the current roster and some of the questions that sort of surround what they have going on right now. And then we're going to dive into all of the draft and free agency related stuff in the second and third segment. So to begin at the top, my guy at Will Carella asked, it seems like we are fine rolling the dice on a rookie center. Then our coaching staff must have been even lower on Austin Blythe than the average fan thought. What did you read on what Les Snead was thinking here? And are you optimistic that we can shore up the interior offensive line by September? And, you know, that could very well be the case. It does appear that maybe the Rams didn't value Austin Blythe as much as the rest of us thought they might have. He signs a one-year $990,000 base salary deal with the Kansas City Chiefs. That's basically almost the minimum guarantee for a guy that's been in the league as long as Blythe has, a veteran, obviously. So probably not all that high on him in terms of actually wanting him to return. Maybe the Rams just viewed Blythe as a backup and maybe they just wanted him to come back and compete for that center spot with whoever they may draft or somebody else that they may sign or give him a chance to fight for one of the guard jobs, and Blythe maybe just chose to go elsewhere instead of actually having to fight for his role. I don't know for sure. It's very interesting to see though. You know, clearly the Rams have a hole at center now, a pretty big one. And like you said, they're going to need to shore up that interior offensive line. Obviously now with a huge hole at center, they're going to need to find somebody else to plug into that spot. And I think, you know, they should be able to do it relatively easily, to be quite honest with you, depending on where they want to draft somebody. Could be with that 57th overall pick, could be somebody in the third round. I think you could find a center in pretty much a lot of different areas. They could still hit the free agent market and sign somebody like Austin Reiter, who I've mentioned on this podcast. So not exactly time to panic just yet, but definitely running low on the options. This next one's from Will as well. He said, the Rams haven't featured tight ends much the past few seasons. Do you think that will change with Stafford? And do you think Tyler Higbee is due for a bigger season or more of the same? I think he's probably going to have a bigger season, probably for two reasons. One, like you mentioned, Stafford at quarterback now. I think the entire passing offense is going to get quite a big boost here. Pretty much I'm higher on everyone you can imagine in terms of the pass catchers just because of the quarterback upgrade. And number two, Gerald Everett's gone. Probably leaves a few more targets in the tank for a guy like Tyler Higbee. Now, I don't necessarily think he's going to hit that 900,000 yard mark in terms of receiving yardage, but probably can improve on his little 500 yards. I think he could probably get closer to that 600-700 yard mark maybe as a tight end and kind of enter that conversation of one of the better tight ends firmly in the NFL. The next one is from at Hoppa241. He said, who do you think from the players that were either redshirted last year or on the practice squad or signed to future contracts has a legitimate chance of either being a starter or rotational player for the defense upcoming? With what we lost in free agency and trade of Brockers, I was thinking players along the defensive line like Banks, Height, Williams, maybe even a Roseboo, Moncrief for linebacker, Dion and Long for cornerback. Who do you think? Cheers, Sosa. That's a good question. Obviously going to be hard to project guys that we haven't really been able to see in the NFL, so it's sort of a guessing game at this point in time. I'm going to probably go with one of the corners. You mentioned them, Dante Dion or David Long Jr. One of those guys has a chance to really step up here and actually seize that starting nickel spot, which is basically a starting position in the NFL these days. I think Dante Dion is probably the favorite right now. He's always looked pretty solid to me in preseason. I think he might have played a little bit of actual regular season snaps in the past. I can't recall if he actually did or not. And he's always been a guy that's impressed me. Now, he's obviously limited by his size, which means he will have to play inside. But the nickel spot is the one that has a hole. So a perfect fit and seamless transition for him there. I think he's very good at playing the ball. So I'm going to go with Dante Dion. It does seem like the Rams want to draft another cornerback. So maybe not going to be just handed to him in terms of the starting position, but he's a guy that's always impressed me. I think he's got a good shot to, if not win a starting job, at least become a factor going into the preseason, maybe getting his fair share of snaps in the regular season, even if he doesn't ultimately win that starter position. The last question in this segment prior to the break is a good one and a tough one to answer. My guy Ralph Guerra at Save Ralph Guerra said, if you could have any past Ram as a 22-year-old rookie, who would you draft for this current Rams team? And man, that is a hard one to answer. Obviously, a litany of good options. You got so many players from the Marshall Faulks, the Kurt Warners, the Isaac Bruces, the Torrey Holtz, Orlando Paces, Jackie Slaters, Deacon Jones, so many legends of the franchise. For the current team, I would probably still go with a wide receiver. I think they could use that all-around number one true alpha receiver. And I guess that pretty much leaves it up to Isaac Bruce or Torrey Holt. I'm going to go with Torrey Holt for this instance. I feel like his peak was a little bit longer than Bruce's and was maybe a little bit higher in terms of, you know, this was a true, maybe best receiver in the NFL at some certain points. And I'm not sure that Isaac Bruce was necessarily ever the best receiver in the NFL during his time in the league, but both legends in their own right, both Hall of Famers in my opinion. And that is a good, good question. And I'm happy to segue into the break off of that question, because that was a tough one to answer. Make sure to stick around for the second segment. We're going to dive into all of the questions surrounding the free agency period, as well as the draft questions. And while we've got you, make sure to come connect with us on Twitter. You can find me at QBsMEP, and you can find the page at Locked On Rams. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football might be over, but the NBA, college basketball, and the NHL are in full swing, and BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV. Get real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds, and it's the best way to place your bets, and it's also free to sign up. You guys just got to go head to their website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. That's betonline.ag. Get all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes with the Locked On Today podcast. Host Peter Bukowski updates you on the latest news in every major sport with the help of our local experts. Follow the Locked On Today podcast wherever you get podcasts. Welcome back to the second segment of this Friday episode of the Locked On Rams podcast. As always, I appreciate you guys for sticking around this long and making it to the second segment. We're going to dive right into where we left off with the draft and free agency questions, and we got a lot of them, so we're going to dive right into there. And I appreciate you guys for shooting over these good ones, because it's finally draft season. It's finally starting to feel like it's right around the corner. We're only a few weeks away. It really feels like the 2021 season is slowly starting to creep up on us. So we're getting there, and let's enjoy this one. My guy at PaulCat1969 said, do you have a list of the 2020 pre-draft meetings the Rams held? Curious how accurate it is to their selections, and why have a meeting or two with a guy you know you won't be able to draft? I love Samuel, meaning Asante Samuel Jr., but can't see him there at 57. I doubt the team trades up to go get him. And I actually have found a list of who the Rams interviewed in 2020. And according to all of the pre-draft meetings that I could find, they only drafted three of the players on the list: Van Jefferson, the wide receiver out of Florida, Bryson Hopkins, tight end out of Purdue, and lastly, Terrell Burgess, the safety out of Utah. According to this entire list, those are the only three names that the Rams did draft. And ironically enough, I was going to say that probably prototypically, if you look at it over the course of the last few years and just in general, I would suggest that teams would draft probably around three players of the guys that they do have pre-draft meetings with. So seems like it's pretty spot on there. Three pre-draft meetings as to why the Rams would have an interview with a guy they may not be able to draft. You never really know with the draft, right? Sometimes guys end up dropping to places you don't expect them to be. I remember last year, offensive tackle Josh Jones from, I want to say Houston it was, a guy that I was super high on, everyone expected to go in the first round, and he actually dropped all the way to the top of the third round. The Rams passed him up a couple of times. They actually interviewed him as well pre-draft, and at the time, it probably seemed like a waste of an interview, but you know, it turned out that he was available. So you want to be able to cover all your bases in these regards, sort of like you're crossing the T's and dotting your I's, making sure you know exactly what you got out of these guys just in the event that, you know, they do end up falling to one of your picks, or like you mentioned, a possibility of a trade up. Not likely going to happen, but you never really know. The next question is from Johnny Lorette 1. He said, hey Sosa, Johnny from Louisiana. My question for Friday: what do you think about a guy like Simi Fehoko, 6'4", 225 pounds, ran a 4.39 at his pro day? I know I messaged you this before, and I love listening to Locked On Rams. Been a Rams fan since 1966. Thanks. And, you know, Fehoko is an interesting name. Now, I haven't gotten to break down his tape in depth like I have with some of the other names, but there is the Stanford connection first and foremost. The Rams did hire Kevin Carberry, the offensive line coach from Stanford. So if Fehoko is going to be an underrated prospect going into this process, Carberry is going to know exactly what kind of player he is, what kind of actual work ethic he has, the way he trained, the way he practiced, all that good stuff. So if Carberry feels comfortable enough to turn that pick in and, you know, give the Rams the intel they need to actually draft a guy like Fehoko, well, then nobody knows him better than Carberry does. So that is the first thing. Now, talking about actually Fehoko himself, very good vertical guy, similar to like a stature of like a DK Metcalf, a huge unit, fast as hell, one of those physical freaks, but he needs to learn pretty much everything about the receiver position. Very raw, needs to continue to work on the releases coming off the line of scrimmage, working in the routes, working the leverage, attacking, positioning, all that kind of stuff. Similar to like an Anthony Schwartz, in my opinion, like I talked about this week throughout the podcast, a very intriguing player in terms of the physical aspect, the athleticism, but still leaves a lot to be desired as a actual wide receiver prospect. The next question is from my guy Holden at Holden Cantor. He said, "What's up, Sosa? As you know, the Rams have met with several speedy wideouts coming into this year's draft. My question is, realistically, how early could you see them selecting one of these wideouts?" And that is a really, really good question. You know, based on what they've brought in terms of the pre-draft meetings, I think it's fair to expect that they're looking at a day three style of wide receiver. Probably not going to draft anyone in that second or third round, in my opinion. Most likely at earliest the fourth round, I would suggest that that would be the case, maybe the fifth round. So if I had to guess, I would say fourth or fifth round. You look at a lot of the names that they've interviewed: Anthony Schwartz, Tutu Atwell, Jacob Harris, who we actually just recently found out, Des Fitzpatrick, a lot of these other guys, Sage Surratt. I'm expecting to pretty much see all of these guys go on day three. So that seems to be where the Rams' sweet spot is right now, where the range is to actually address this position. So I'm going to expect it to be day three. I would be pretty surprised if it does come earlier than that. It does seem most likely like it'll be in that round four or round five range. The last question for this segment is from at ChevDog6. He said, "It feels inevitable that the Rams will draft a wide receiver and cornerback. So who would be your realistic favorites at those two positions, assuming they keep their current draft picks?" And that is a great question and a tough one to answer, like some of the other ones I've gotten this damn episode. I mean, it really depends on where they ultimately choose to address these positions. If for whatever reason they do stick at number 57 and, you know, an Asante Samuel Jr. is still on the board, I'm in love with that pick. I think you could do so much worse. That is a clear-cut, seamless transition, in my opinion. You plug him into the nickel spot. I think he balls from day one, has so much good tape, has a lot of things you like to see in cornerback play, and I simply do not have many questions about his game translating to the next level. So Asante Samuel Jr. takes the cake at the cornerback spot for me. Now the wide receiver position, a little bit tougher. If we go with an Asante Samuel in the second round, probably don't go for a wide receiver until the third, maybe the fourth at earliest. And in that event, I would probably say Dwayne Eskridge is the most realistic possibility in that area. Obviously, there are some wide receivers that I like more than Eskridge, but those guys are likely to go in rounds two or maybe not even reach the Rams in round two, round three, whatever the case is. So I want to go with Eskridge on this one. I think he's got return capabilities. I think he's got deep ball ability. He's got the vertical prowess to his game, a ton of speed, yak ability. Looked very good at the Senior Bowl. I really like this tape. He's one of the receivers that I'm actually higher on in this draft class than probably most people are. And ultimately, I think he could be a very good fit with the Rams in their receiver room as well as their offense. Think that would be a great addition. So I'm going to go with Samuel and Eskridge at those spots. That is all we had for this segment. Make sure to tune in to this final segment when we come back after the break. We're going to dive into the final few questions, some of which are related to free agency, some fun questions, some Senior Bowl questions, and then we're going to wrap it all up for this Friday episode. And make sure to check back in with us next week when we continue our offseason coverage for the Los Angeles Rams. The fitness industry is incredibly confusing and oversaturated with BS. I'd like to think that my word holds a lot of weight as I've lost 155 pounds over the last 2.5 years. I've tried every protein bar on the market. I promise you guys, protein is the number one macro I'm after, and there is no better protein bar than the Built Bar. They have by far the best texture of any protein bar I've ever tried in my life, and they have so many flavors you honestly will lose count, and they all taste tremendous. I promise you that. And not only that, but the bars are also very healthy. They're low in calories, low in sugar. They have 19 grams of protein per bar. They're high in fiber, and they even work for you if you are on a keto diet. You'll even get a free cooler with your purchase while the supplies last. Just go to BuiltBar.com and use the promo code LOCKED15 and you'll get 15% off your next order. Use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com. It's April and the Locked On NFL Network of Podcasts is shifting into draft mode. April 19th through the 26th, tune into the Ultimate Mock Draft 2021 featuring analysis from NFL experts Michael Irvin, Brian Baldinger, and Michael Lombardi. Stay tuned for more info about where you can find the Ultimate Mock Draft 2021 presented by Odyssey and the Locked On Podcast Network. Welcome back to the final segment of this Mailbag Friday episode of the Locked On Rams Pod. We're going to pick right back up where we left off prior to the break with our final four questions. I appreciate you guys for shooting them over. They're great as always, so we're going to dive back into them. The first one is from at MTMatthews51. Said, we need to get a center. Hoping our guy is available is a gamble. How would the Rams recover if our guy is taken early? And that is the million-dollar question, right? It seems like the Rams have sort of pigeonholed themselves into wanting or needing a center at that 57th overall pick. Or, you know, if they end up trading back maybe to the 65th or 70th pick, who knows? They're probably going to project the fact that they need to go center at one of those early picks. And that is sort of a dangerous game to play because you never know who's going to be available. And not only that, but you don't want to pigeonhole yourself into having to take a certain position. You want to let the draft come to you. You want to take the best player that's literally dropped, the best player available approach, always going to yield the best results when it comes to drafts. So it's definitely an issue. How could they get around it? Well, we talked about potentially adding a center. A guy like Austin Ryder is still available, probably going to be available for the foreseeable future. I don't think anyone's going to really sign him over the next few weeks. So there is always that option. You could go back to the veteran market. Or I guess at the end of the day, the Rams may have to start a guy like Coleman Shelton or Brian Allen, which would probably be a little bit unfortunate because I feel like they could do better. But, you know, there are worse things in the world. So doesn't look like a great plan B, in my opinion. You definitely want to go get yourself a new center that you can rely on for the foreseeable future. But again, there are some other options just in case everything doesn't pan out properly. The next one is from at Jaron Guzman. He said, are the Rams waiting on free agency pickups until after the deadline when comp picks aren't affected? And are the Rams going to make a cap space move with Stafford's contract? Do you think they'll need a tight end just in case Higbee is on the sideline with an injury? And how serious are the talks with a move for a guy like Zach Ertz? Now, we've kind of talked about the answer to that first question already a few times in this one. I mentioned Austin Ryder as a potential free agent pickup. Outside of him, I don't think the Rams are going to be at all active when it comes to free agency. They may be waiting for that comp pick date, like you mentioned. Don't exactly know which day it is. I think it's in about a month from now. So could be waiting for that. We'll see. That is obviously something to look at. In terms of Stafford's contract, I don't think they're going to really adjust anything. They don't really have a reason to right now. I think they're happy with who they've added through free agency. So no real reason to adjust that contract unless they actually want to continue to go add guys. So a possibility, but I don't think it's very likely. And in terms of the tight end position, you know, Bryson Hopkins is probably going to be relied upon going into the season. They drafted him relatively highly in the fourth round, so they clearly value him to some degree. Probably a little bit risky going into the season with a guy that you have absolutely no clue what he can do. So, you know, the Zach Ertz stuff, I don't think is very serious. I think the Rams are just one of those franchises that like to reach out to a lot of teams when they hear someone is available. They like to at least gauge the potential trade market, feel out, and kind of put some feelers out for those teams. I don't think it's very likely. I think they probably called the Eagles, asked about what the price was, asked if they planned on releasing him. And, you know, if he does ultimately get released, maybe the Rams have some interest, but I don't think that it's very serious at all. The next question is from at Faison45. He said, how often do we draft the people we have official visits with, not counting meeting at the Senior Bowl? And the second one, with the restrictions in place, are we still allowed the extra local visits that don't count toward the top 30? And the final one, over under on the total picks we make, I say 8.5. So the first one we kind of answered. They had three players last year that they had pre-draft meetings with that they ultimately drafted. We talked about it earlier in this episode, and my guess would probably be right around three players in terms of every year on a case-by-case basis. Most likely going to draft between three, max, in my opinion, four players that you actually met with pre-draft. Number two, I don't know if there are any restrictions with the local visits. Like you mentioned, the local visits, I guess the guys that are, you know, inside that same state or within that same city, maybe. I'm not actually even sure what constitutes a local visit, but they typically never counted toward the top 30. I don't know if that's changed this year. I'm going to guess probably not. Now, those guys obviously can't visit your building, I don't think. They can only do a Zoom pre-draft style thing. But again, I don't think that that counts against the top 30 visits. So that is a good point there. Thank you for bringing that up. And the final one, over under on the total picks. 8.5 is a little bit high. I'm going to go with just under. They currently have six picks, I believe. I'm going to go with eight. I think they're going to trade back, pick up another two picks at some point, maybe even trade up. We always see them trade back and then trading up later on. So I'm going to go with eight picks, just under that 8.5. The last question is from @JB_Peoples. He said, in honor of Aaron Donald's new tennis career that debuted in the Hulu commercial, which player from the Rams would be his partner for doubles? Also, you think Snead plays tennis at his local country club? I feel like he's their local MEP. And I haven't gotten to see that commercial, unfortunately. I don't know if we get that in Canada, so I definitely got to find that somewhere. If anyone sees that, shoot it over to me. That's probably pretty funny. In terms of who his partner would be, well, I think we could say it's not going to be Eugene Sims because if you guys recall, when the Rams were on Hard Knocks, Eugene Sims was not exactly great at ping pong, and Aaron Donald was getting quite agitated over it. It was pretty funny to watch, I'm not going to lie. In terms of who his partner would be, that is a good question. Probably someone on the team has a baseball background, probably pretty good at swinging or, you know, at least having that motion. I'm going to go with maybe a guy like Matthew Stafford, probably got a strong arm. I don't really know in terms of who would actually be good at tennis. So I go with Stafford. He's athletic enough to do it. And in terms of Snead, yeah, he probably plays tennis at his local tennis club. Look at the guy flicking his hair and all that. I think he would be a tremendous tennis player at his local tennis club. I appreciate you guys for joining me. That is going to be the end of our Friday episode and the finale of this week's episodes. Make sure to keep checking back in with us all off season long. We're going to continue to host episodes Monday through Friday throughout the foreseeable future, covering the Los Angeles Rams throughout the offseason and throughout the draft period. And just a reminder, come connect with us on Twitter. You can find me at QBsMVP and you can find the page at Locked On Rams. Please subscribe or follow to get our latest episodes, content, breaking news, and a whole lot more.